ice cream cone. Which one shall I choose?
Cat, ball, boat, starfish, clock.
No time left to lose.
Sun,
sky,
man,
dog, cow,
moon.
Plate and fork and knife and spoon.
Better hurry up and soon. Time to make a drawing.
They wrote this fun song together. Of course, they were grown-ups when they did so, remembering all the while when they were Junie B's age and doodling and dancing and doing cool stuff with their friends. In their case, at that tender age, music and words were oh so delightful, truly delicious.
Lucille.
Camille.
Chenille.
Junie B. Jones.
See? Totally throws the rhythm off. There's nothing I can do,
huh?
They've never forgotten that, and they still love to play. Play in so many senses with words and music. It's their job. It's what they do. Very, very well indeed. Marcy Heisler and Zena Goldrich have received the ASCAP Foundation Richard Rogers New Horizons Theater Award as one of New York's most successful and popular composing teams. And they've created musicals titled Ever After, Dear Edwina, and this one, Junie B. Jones.
Shower girls!
Look at those girls walking down the street.
Lucy!
Camille!
Chenille!
Who are the girls that you'd like to meet?
Marcy and Zena, each one of them fell head over heels in love with musical theater early on, and they were able to celebrate that love in a song like this one with all the razzmatazz of the great Broadway musicals we all love.
Gladys Gutsman, queen of snacks. That woman was a gem, I tell you.
Who's the one who makes your napkins are folded?
Who's the one who'll see that bread hasn't molded?
Who'll sponge off all the counters till everything is gleaming?
Who'll make sure that your cream of wheat is
extra creamy?
Gladys Gutsman, Queen of Snacks, from the musical Junie B. Jones by Marcy Heisler and Zena Goldrich. As we'll soon hear, what they do, they say, keeps them young, though they write really great songs for grown-ups, too, and they perform them and more in the show, The Marcy and Zena Show, at 54 Below and so many of the premier sites in the city, and they'll be here with us to kick off the annual Pocono Mountains Music Festival that has brought so many wonderful performers and pieces from in and around Broadway to Buck Hill Falls and beyond. A festival that works with young people to give them a first-hand experience of the marvels of musical theater. Marcy and Zena will perform at Skytop Lodge this Saturday, May 19th at 7:30 p.m. And we had a chance to talk with them about their young performing lives and how their early loves are still with them.
I started music at 3, and so I was little Zena, always like playing piano and doing stuff and putting on shows in our driveway or in the garage with the neighborhood kids. And I believe that Marcy was kind of similar. We didn't meet until later, but we were still doing kind of the same things. I grew up on Long Island, and so my folks would take me into the city to see Broadway shows, and I was hooked on that drug immediately. I grew up in Chicago, and my big sister Eileen was taking creative dramatics classes. There was a wonderful woman named Eileen Bovers, who was a very famous Chicago director and ran a school, sort of an after-school program for dramatics. And I followed my sister there, and I was cast in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown as Snoopy. And I had never performed before, and I was very nervous about it. I remember I was so little. I'm trying to remember exactly how old I was, but it was very, very little. And I learned my song, and I got out on that stage. And as soon as I heard that audience laughter, I haven't stopped. I sang Supper Time, I believe, from your I would have loved to have seen that. And once I got a taste of the stage, there was just such a such a visceral audience reaction. And it's something that I never, you know, I always wanted it to be a part of my life. And so I was a performer for many, many years. And then in college, I switched my focus to writing. And once I started really writing lyrics, I realized that there was such a world out there. I didn't have to just worry about what kind of characters I could play. You know, I could make up characters of any kind. And that just hooked me hook, line, and sinker. And Zena and I have always had the same sort of sensibilities. So when we found each other, we just kept doing it.
And Zena, were you the one who has Thad Jones and Mel Lewis in your background?
Yes, that would be me. My father, in addition to being a retired obstetrician gynecologist, was also a jazz musician. He played trumpet, still plays trumpet. He sounds awesome. And when he was doing his residency and he had just married my mom and we were little kids, he sat in with Mel Lewis and Thad Jones at the Village Vanguard one night, one Monday night, and he stayed there for 7 years. So every Monday night he was there playing with them. And so I grew up with all these amazing jazz musicians in my house. And so a lot of what I do has a lot of jazz infusions in it because I love jazz, period.
Were any of those jazz visitors vocalists? Now, Dee Dee Bridgewater sang with Thad Jones and Mel Lewis. Did you get to be around her?
No, I remember Dee Dee Bridgewater. Yes, my dad knew her. And I remember because she was in the Wiz at one point and we came into the city to see her and we got to go backstage and she, I think, played Glinda. But she, when I went backstage, she had the most unbelievable costume on. She was just all sparkles and beauty. I just thought, you are the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. And she's a wonderful vocalist, and I haven't seen her in years, but I would love to.
And Marcy, you have some sort of opera in your background, Chicago Lyric Opera, right?
Yes, I was part of the company from 1981. I was, third urchin from the left in La Boheme, and I did Attila and Boris Godunov, and I was, about 11 or 12, and it was an amazing experience to sort of get to perform on stage with all of those wonderful artists and then do our math homework, in the background. And it was something I had never expected, but it's definitely one of my favorite experiences in my childhood.
It's really intriguing that you each have different disciplines like the jazz and the opera and all these things that are feeding in the popular music of the day and so forth, feeding into this wonderful thing that you do together. And it sounds like when you describe Dee Dee Bridgewater's magical costume, yeah, you have the hard work of getting down to the writing, but there has to be some sort of magic between you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's funny because we were friends first before we started writing. And about a year into our friendship, we tried to write a song together. And the second we wrote a song, we knew immediately. It's sort of like, it's like meeting a spouse. But, writing songs is a very personal thing. And when you meet someone who sees things the same way that you do, and we immediately developed a shorthand so quickly that, I mean, when you write with other people and it's not necessarily the right thing, it can be fun, but it's not the same as really seeing eye to eye and ear to ear on your writing together. And that's the thing that's kept us together for all these years.
Yeah, I think we've had some, we've talked to our friends about this too, because Dean and I, now we're going into our 20 year of collaboration together. And a lot of times, we know that we're very lucky because we really do have a long-standing collaboration and we do speak the same language, as Dina was saying. And I think that not only is that rare and precious, but it really does indeed give us a shorthand that allows us to not have too many drafts that we throw away. Or if we throw them away, we both decide to throw them away. We really do speak with one voice, and that allows us to make a lot of new music. We usually find, if we do disagree, it's very rare that we would fight creatively, but if we disagree, we know we might have the wrong song or the wrong moment. Very rarely, on occasion we certainly do, but by and large, if we find that we're really not moving, chugging along on something, we double back and say, wait a minute, maybe this character shouldn't sing here, or maybe the song comes a little bit later, or maybe it's a different character, maybe it's a different feel, or, there are lots of things that can change, and as long as Marcy and I talk about it, you know, we work through a lot of things. And most of the time, we both end up happy at the end of creating something. Because if we're not, one of us is not happy with how something turned out, then neither of us is happy.
We have a little gift in the man's eye sometimes. But that's how we keep things on an even keel.
Have you had a chance to sit down with some of the legends of Broadway and talk shop?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, the thing about our business is it's a very small business. There are not a lot of people in it. It seems like it's big, but truly, once you get to a certain point, you do run into these people at like an opening of a show or this or that. And it's really wonderful to hear what everybody's working on. What did they love? How was your experience when you traveled to this place? Or there are always wonderful things to learn from our colleagues. And every so often you get to meet an idol or somebody you've always wanted to work with. And, you know, you have to pretend like you're really cool about it, but inside you're totally dying. Like, oh my God, I can't believe it. But that's the fun of it, though, you know, when you get to do those things.
I definitely feel that people have been very generous. And I think that in a certain way, I think people love being in this business because it does keep you young. And I think that people change and their circumstances change and their experience grows. But we're all those college kids with the pens, you know, working late on our college reviews. You really never do change. Productions get bigger and sets get better. But the sort of dramatic spark of really coming together, collaborating, and working on something, it's not that different than when, you know, you do it in college.
Please tell us about someone you met, and it was really a thrill.
Well, I will say this. We did get to meet Stephen Sondheim once. Actually, we met him a couple of times. But we did get to have tea with him one afternoon, and we were chatting with him. And, you know, we were talking about things that were going on, and he listened and was very kind. And what he said to us was, you know, basically to shut off the noise, he said, the writing is all. That's what he said. He said, put a post-it on your forehead. The writing is all. That's all you need to know. And we've tried to remember that, but it's always, it's not like we're walking around, well, as Stephen Sondheim told me the other day.
You know, we've been very lucky. I think that's one of the things about living in and near New York, is you really do get a chance to sit down with a lot of really big people, and they are very generous with their time. And let's see, who else? Oh, so many.
You know,
Laurie Estin is wonderful.
Yes. It's funny because when it really comes down to it, yes, these people are all famous and well known. But I will tell you that at the heart of all of these people that we've met are people who just love theater as much as we do, and so you automatically have that in common. We did work with I'll drop one more name because I know you'll want that for your listeners. But we worked with Julie Andrews on a show called The Great American Mousicle, and it was based on a book that Julie wrote with her daughter, Emma Walton Hamilton. And so when we first met her, we were quite nervous. I mean, she's kind of major, you know. But again, once we started to talk about music and theater and all the things we wanted to do, all of that stuff sort of falls away, and you're just talking to a friend about, you know, work.
Yeah, you're rolling up sleeves and making things. I mean, that's really what we all do.
And you have so many vocalists, too, so many singers and performers who love what you do. And that is another kind of compliment, because you clearly are composing music that is rich and complex, because that makes it interesting for them as performers. But you must know how to write both the lyrics and the music for the voice. That's so key.
We've been very fortunate in that department. I don't know what to say about it other than, you know, when I write music, I can say that I sing as I'm writing. And so it has to feel good on the voice. It just has to. Otherwise, I'm not doing my job. And so in that regard, it's already been pre-tested before they sing it. So hopefully, and sometimes Marcy will always tell me I write stuff that's too high. But so does Stephen Schwartz, and that's okay.
No, and I think that our work tends to be romantic comedy story driven. And I think it's just nice that so many people have related and taken our actual stories and made them their own. And we're always happy to hear about people who are singing. And people often ask us about the original impulse for certain songs. But, you know, we encourage people to make them their own.
And that's very generous. And it also makes great sense, because then you hear things that you might not have known were there, but are there implicitly. And so everybody grows.
Yeah, I think so. It's fun to hear some of our stories out of other people's mouths. You know, it's really... and what they do with them. It really is, you know, it makes you feel like you're really leaving something behind, that no matter what, at least some parts of you will make people laugh in many years to come, hopefully.
When you come to Buck Hill Falls, then, you're going to bring the Marcy and Zena show. What does that entail, and how do you say, oh, well, let's do some of this, and we can do that, and let's put this out for them, and we hope to share this with them?
Well, we like to treat our shows like people are in our living room, and we're having just like a little salon, and we just kind of pick a few things that we're working on, something that may be current, something that we're like, hey, you know, I really want to sing that song. We haven't done that one in a while. And we try to pull everything together and make it a cohesive evening. But I think the fun of it is the casual nature of it, where we just kind of share stories about, you know, where the song came from or what happened when so-and-so sang it, or I don't know.
It's a true musical potluck, I think. And we really, we just try to keep it as freewheeling as possible. There are times where we think we'll do one song, and because Zena is such an adept musical director, we get to flip it up if we feel like we want to do more funny songs, or we want to do a few things from musicals that we may not have written in our last show. You know, because we're writing all the time, we always have something new. And, you know, we try to keep it surprising for ourselves as well.
Is there some project that you can talk about, a current project that we might see sometime soon?
Well, we have our show Ever After, which is based on the Drew Barrymore Cinderella, and that's going to be at the Alliance in Atlanta in January and February of this next year. And so we certainly hope it will do well and then come up to New York. That is our hope. But
we're working on an untitled romantic comedy review based upon an old movie.
Oh, yes, we can't talk about that. But we perform in New York all the time. We perform at 54 Below and Birdland, and we may have some other venues that we're going to do. So we put it up on our website most of the time, marcyandzena.com.
Since you brought up Cinderella, you know it's hard to do an interview these days without considering women working in the field. How do you talk about it with other people, being women doing what you do?
Well, I think that my sister is a television writer in Hollywood, and she gave me a very good piece of advice. And she said, no matter what, eyes on your own paper. You know, and I really do try to take that to heart because, you know, Zena was saying about listening to the noise and everything. Obviously, being a woman, certainly, you know, we have that experience, and it's the way that we're going to go through life. But it's not everything. We're writers, you know. Woman can be a noun and not an adjective as well. And I think it certainly colors everything we do. But also, you know, we look at things just in terms of the emotional way things hit us and characters we want to grow, and we look at it as ourselves more than our sex, I think.
I, to be really honest, I don't think about it that often. You know, I know that there are not that, I mean, there are a lot more nowadays, but not a lot of women composers that have gotten a lot of the spotlight. But I'm a member of this group called Maestra, which is a group of all women composers, and there are a lot of us. It's a glorious thing. And you know, the other thing I'll add about just being a woman songwriter, which is that men have been writing women characters for years. Right. So I have no issue with women writing male characters or female characters. It doesn't matter. If you're a good writer, you should be a good writer.
And I also think the more we do it, the more it won't be odd. The more you get out there. We have a song called Make Your Own Party. And I do think it's important to manifest whatever it is that you're feeling. And the more we do it and give ourselves permission to do it, the more it won't be an issue. And it will just be a wonderful thing.
The other thing is with young people, they always say, you know, if you can see it, you can be it. So we hope that if some young girls are out there and they're like, oh, I wonder what it'd be like to write a song, I hope they'll see that other women are doing it and they can do it themselves too.
Well, let me tell you something. Maybe I can't be the big star of the kickball tournament, but is that going to get the best of Junie B. Jones, people? No siree, Bob. So go ahead and throw your flaky biscuits, because I will take those dumb biscuits. I will.
Sensational.
I did it, Daddy. I tossed them in the air just like you taught me.
Oh, honey, we're
are so proud of you.
Because I finally caught those things?
Because you practiced and practiced and never gave up. You know what that makes you, Junie B?
Tired?
No, silly. It makes you a star.
A star?
A superstar! Once
upon a time, I was feeling... Marcy Heisler and Zena Goldrich, an award-winning composing team. And they created this music for the music Junie B. Jones. They spoke with us in anticipation of bringing the Marcy and Zena show to Skytop Lodge in Skytop, Pennsylvania, this Saturday, May 19th at 7:30 p.m. to launch the Pocono Mountains Music Festival with a special event. The festival itself will open Friday, July 27th and continue into August. This is a preview and a way of setting the stage for the wonderful riches to come this summer. The Marcy and Zena Show, Saturday, May 19th, and that's at 7:30 p.m. at Skytop Lodge in Skytop, Pennsylvania, to get us in the mood for the Pocono Mountains Music Festival. It's a special event, a preview event, and for more information on the web, poconofest.org, poconofest.org.